bit. So take your Bibles to the 103rd Psalm. I should have probably preached a full expository sermon on this psalm, to be honest. It's a beautiful psalm. And it really, we're going to stand and read it in just a moment. But let me encourage you to really pay attention to the words of this psalm, Psalm 103. Now, Mary, when did you get back?
Monday.
Monday? Or did you fly in? Oh, you drove? All by yourself and Victor? Oh, that's not so bad. I thought you went down south. Oh, okay. All right, let's stand together. Let's stand and let's read Psalm 103. Well, I'm glad to see you back. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases,
who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies,
who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever.
He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
That's fine, I like it. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Well, Father, it is a privilege and an honor to praise you, to bless your holy name. And Lord, as we read this psalm, we see a bunch of things that we bless your name for and we praise your name for. And as I read it, I find it a tremendous blessing. And I quite honestly wish perhaps I'd have preached this when I had a full 45 minutes or so to preach. But Lord, tonight I pray that you'd use it to bless our hearts and give us reason to celebrate you, to praise you, to bless your holy name, and may be constantly upon our lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Recently, I have spoken twice on the will of God, two lessons, really. And we remember the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So in that first message on the will of God, I talked about there are four ways in which we know the will of God to be, and two of them I said was the moral will of God, and I also said the general will of God, and they kind of go together because all of them are found in the Word of God as far as the moral and general will of God. But I will say this, it is the will of God for all of us to give thanks unto the Lord. There is no question about that. And let me also add this. You know, if you start doing all of the moral will and all of the general will that God wants you to do with your life, it's amazing how God will begin to point out to you the particular will of God that he has for your life. But we just need to be obedient, especially to the things that we already know. But we do know this. We know that we are to be a thankful people, and I want to point out a few things in this Psalms that are reasons to offer praise and thanks to the Lord. And I want you to notice verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." I want you to notice a couple things that I've really never noticed, had noticed before, but I'm going to point them out. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then it says in the middle of the verse, "All that is within me." Can I tell you something? God doesn't ask you to be something you're not. God doesn't ask you to be somebody you're not. You're not inferior the way you are. You aren't hopeless the way you are. You're not useless the way you are. You're not helpless the way you are. You're not. I've thought this. I probably mentioned this before. But I thought if I could just preach like so-and-so. Man, I listen to some of these guys on the radio preach, and I'm like, man, did you ever listen to Dr. Stanley preach? I listen to Dr. Stanley. He's on at, he comes on at 4:30 in the afternoon. And so it's kind of convenient time a lot when we're in the car. And man, that guy is just a good preacher. I just love to hear Dr. Stanley preach. And I thought, man, I wish I could preach like him. And then Adrian Rogers is probably my all-time favorite preacher from my whole life. And I just love to hear him preach. And I thought, man, I wish I could preach like Adrian Rogers. That guy can just preach. And he's always got good outlines and good doctrine weaved into his messages. And Dr. Stanley is great, don't take me wrong, but he hardly ever has much doctrine in his sermons. I like Dr. Rogers better because he's got doctrine weaved all through his sermons. But you know what I learned one day? I don't have to preach like those guys. I find that liberating. You don't have to be somebody. God doesn't expect you to be somebody you aren't. I don't have to compare myself with anybody else. Did you see the little phrase, "all that is within me"? Within me. Within you and you and you and you. You can say, "all that is within me, oh my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name." I can praise God and I can bless God, and so can every one of you that is out there tonight. Praise the Lord. All of us personally can bless the Lord and offer him praise. I can. You can, and you can, and you can, and we all can. Now I want you to notice what it said. I find that liberating, quite frankly. Verse 2, then it says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," and it says, "forget not all of his benefits." You know what? I hate to say this. It is awful easy to forget the benefits of the Lord. It really is. Has God been good to you? Isn't it easy to forget the goodness of the Lord? I hate to say it, but it really is. It's kind of like, do you remember, I'm sure you do. Joseph was put in prison, and then there was two guys there with him, the butler and the baker. And he told them, he says, "Now look, when you guys get out of here, don't forget me." But what happened as soon as they got out of jail? They forgot him. I think sometimes that's a good illustration of how easy it is to forget. They didn't like being in jail. They were glad when they got out. They weren't sure how it was going to turn out so good for the one of them. But anyway, they didn't like being in jail. And when they got out, Joseph said, "Don't forget me," but they forgot him. Now I'll say, you know, I'm glad I am here because it beats the best prison in America any day of the week, all right? Did you ever think about where you could have ended up or where you might have ended up? You could have ended up a drunk. Our children could have ended up living a life of debauchery. You ought to thank God for all of his benefits. We can take just things for granted. We can take our wife for granted. We can take our husband for granted. We can take our children for granted. I suppose sometimes we do take our children for granted, probably our wives and husbands as well. Listen, don't forget his benefits. God has really been good to us. Let's not forget it. Let me go a little bit further here in verse 3. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." You know how many of your sins are forgiven? All of them. Now that is a blessing. This is my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. I get it from Ephesians. I think the greatest blessing in the world is to know that all of your sins are forgiven. That is a tremendous, tremendous thing. And it says, "Who healeth all of our diseases." That is not necessarily every time you get sick, God's going to heal you. But it is this, every time you have been sick, God is the one responsible ultimately for your healing. And you ought to thank him for that. Then it says, "He heals all of our diseases." Notice what it says in verse 4. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." I'll come back to that, but I'm grateful that he does that. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, I mentioned this a little bit ago, but it says that he redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who knows where we'd end up? There's a song I really like, but it's at the title of it is Look What God Has Done. Look what God has done for us. Boy, he's done a lot of things. It says, forgive us all thine iniquities. He healeth all our diseases. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. You know, I want to tell you something. God has done all of that for me. And I could probably give a testimony on every one of them, but I'll just take a couple. He has saved my life from destruction. Physically as well as spiritually. I was in a bad motorcycle accident in the late... Were you around here, Marty? No, my motorcycle wreck. I came in, so that this auditorium, you must have been. It was before we built this, but we were out there. And I was on my way home from work. I worked up to Camden Wire. And, you know, it's Route 13. I'm on a big road. It's 11:30 at night. You got a headlight, and you got two orange running lights on the front of your motorcycle. And there's a car coming. We're going head on toward each other. And the car just makes a left-hand turn about from me to the end of that pew in front of me. Yeah, ouch was right. And I might have got my brake locked up that far. There's no way to lay it down. I mean, he was right there. And so, this, I'm telling you, this is a miracle. I picked my leg up some, but it was my motorcycle, the motor, my leg, and that bumper of that car. Boom. Yeah, that felt good. And then I started doing cartwheels down the stinking road. And the first thing is, when I woke up, I said, this cannot possibly, I'm not kidding you, this actually happened. This cannot possibly be heaven because I'm in way too much pain right now. Plus, I was in shock, and I'm laying in the middle of the road. I never lost conscience, and you know, by the grace of God, I never lost my wits. So I'm laying there, and I know you're not supposed to move because of your neck and your back and all that, but when I went like this, there's a truck coming toward me, and I'm laying with black leather on in the middle of the road, so what are you going to do? You're going to drag yourself out of the road. So I dragged myself out of the road, and then I realized my head is down in a ditch. Well, the next thought that came to my mind was, well, if I'm bleeding internally, I'm going to fill my lungs up with blood. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what crossed my mind. So I decided to turn around and get my head facing uphill. Now, mind you, the people that ran into me, they're not even out of their car yet. They were pulling into their driveway. The guy was drunk. I think he was driving. I can't prove it, but the girl said she was. Then they got out of their car, and they went into the house. Now, they had to know they hit me. I mean, right? So they go into their house, and I'm laying there, and I think, well, this is just wonderful. Now, I don't recommend you do what I did, but I'm laying this way, and my toes are facing that way. So I said, well, that's not right. So I had this thought in my mind, if I could just bring my toes back to where they belong, it would all be better. So I grabbed my foot, and it went back in place. And I want to tell you that hurt, like that was a stupid thing to do. But when I got to, finally they come out of the house, the guy's drunk, here's how I know, he's going down through the woods looking for me, and finally he gets about 10 feet from me, and I could smell the booze on him, and I said, a stinking drunk just ran into me. And he was stinking too. And then his girlfriend or wife or whoever it was come out. She's crying. I'm thinking, I'm the one laying in the ditch. I mean, you're sitting there crying. I said, who was driving the car? She says, I was. I'm like, didn't you see me? Then they didn't want to call the ambulance. They wanted me to ride to the hospital with them, the people that just ran into me. I said, Dad, no, just call the ambulance. Finally, a car stopped, and the guy said, are you all right? I says, no, I'm not all right. I need an ambulance. He goes, all right, I'll go call one. But the girl finally says, I'll call one. So they come in. I get to the hospital. And the doctor's looking at my x-ray, and I mean, I was bruised up and smashed up everywhere, my shoulder, my arm, but my leg was worst. But I had no internal injuries. Praise God for that. I could have been killed in that. I mean, pretty easy. I'm doing 55. It was a little cool, so I was going slower. Maybe if I was going faster, I'd have got through there before the car did, but that's hindsight, right? But anyway, and that car was probably doing 20, but it was still bam. And the doctor's looking at my x-ray like this. I said, well, where is it broke? He says, where's it broke? Where's it not broke? I'm thinking, oh boy. He goes, it's about 17 breaks from here down. Well, I didn't know what that meant. He says, normally we put a pin in somebody's leg, but you don't have enough bone to hold the pin, so we'll put a screw in first and hold the pin, but you don't even have enough bone in there to hold the screw. I said, what are you going to do? And this is what he said. He said, who said it? I said, I did. He said, every little fragment of bone is in the right place. I thought, God said it. Amen. I said, so what are you going to do? He says, we're going to wrap it up in a cast, and we're going to see if it heals. And we're going to x-ray in 2 weeks. And if it starts to gel itself together in 2 weeks, we're not going to do anything. I went back 2 weeks later. He said, it's healing itself back together. We're not going to do anything. Now, you know what the option was had that not started healing itself? Amputation. That was it. There was nothing they could do, but God allowed those bones to flop back in place just right. I say God has protected me physically, at least that time. There was another time, I'll tell you about a couple, that I thought I was going to get in another motorcycle wreck. We started out riding at noontime, and then it got dark, and I had put my black shield on. Jeff, you ever ride a motorcycle with a black shield at night? That's a bad, that doesn't go together well. So I'm going then to this corner, and I'm on this back road. I have no clue where I am. I'm up in Florence somewhere. And I said, man, I can't see. And I just as I flipped my face shield up, there was a barbed wire fence. It couldn't have been more than for me to Marty or Chris away. And it was a 90. And I just cranked that bike over and laid it like this, and it walked right around that corner like nothing. I said, thank you, Lord. Amen. Then there was two times on my tractor. One was the farm I was working on. I had a woodchuck hole. It was going to rain. We were putting hay in. I went down to pick up a load of hay. We only had two wagons, so you had to get them back and forth as quick as you possibly could. I had a woodchuck hole. You remember them old tractors with the front wheels that was this far apart? That thing came. I was going as fast as the tractor could go, and I was going up a hill. And that thing bounced in the air when I hit that stinking woodchuck hole just like that. And it almost came right over. It would have killed me. It would have crushed me. I pushed the clutch in, but you're going up a hill. But that stops the force of the back tires, and it let the front wheels drop back down. I'd have definitely been killed in that one. I was out here one day brush hogging a few years ago, and Bill Case was out there, and there was a stump I was going to brush hog over. Well, when my brush hog hit it, that thing was like iron. I thought I just busted off. It threw my tractor right in the air just like that. Bill says, I thought you were a goner right there, Pastor. I said, well, I was kind of wondering to myself. I'm going to tell you, I keep my guardian angels excessively busy. But I'll bet some of you could tell stories like that. I could have been killed there, and I could have been killed there, and I could have been killed there, and I could have. Maybe you haven't. Well, God bless you. I'm glad you haven't. But I have. And you mentioned my back earlier.
When you did your leg, was that when you had the lawn chair?
Yes, that's when I had the lawn chair. It's amazing how you remember that, Marty. I broke my tailbone also. So I couldn't sit, I couldn't stand, I couldn't get comfortable in a possible way. But I was not going to miss church. I was coming to church. So I had this walker, because I had a busted shoulder too. So I'm going like this with the walker, because I can't put weight on my wrist over here. That was bad. And oh, what a mess I was. But you know, I hobbled to church, but I had to have a lawn chair in church. Ed Rice and Bev visited. I was like that when they visited the church for the first time. They saw a guy laying in the lawn chair. They thought, what in the world kind of church is this? That was the first thing they saw. They didn't know I was in a wreck. But yeah, that's right too. That's when I brought the lawn chair to church. But you know what? I will say this. I wanted to be in church. I don't care what my physical condition was. I was going to church. And I mean Sunday morning and Sunday night. And because I wasn't working, I was in church Wednesday night. You said, wasn't it a pain to get in and out of the car? Oh, it was a pain. Yes, it was. But I wanted to be under the ministry of the Word of God. And I believe God spared my life. But that's just, you know, some of the ways God's protected me and just stopped me from destruction. I could have ended up a drunk. I enjoyed a bottle of beer just as much as the next guy enjoyed a bottle of beer. Listen, those are things. God has saved us from a life of destruction. That's what the psalmist said. But I'm going to mention this one more time. And he forgave us all of our sins the day we got saved. And then it said in verse 4 again, it says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Are you thankful for God's loving kindness? Are you grateful for his tender mercies? You know, if a person has a need and you do all you can to meet that need, that's kindness. But loving kindness is meeting that need and saying something like, God bless you, and I'm so sorry that you're going through these hard times, and you put your hand on their shoulder and you say, let me say a quick word of prayer for you. That's loving kindness. Tender mercies. When the judge says, I'm going to be merciful to you, and then he says, so now you're free. That is tender mercies. Verse 5 said this, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, praise the Lord, so that thy youth is renewed like eagle's wings. You say, well, I don't always feel like my back in my youth days. Well, that's true. We don't always feel that way. But you know, God's been good. I got to be honest. I feel pretty good for my age, I guess. I'm going to be 60, they tell me. I don't know. Verse 6, I am like a pelican of the wilderness. That's the wrong chapter. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He executeth judgment and righteousness. Romans says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You know, you don't have to worry about God balancing the book of justice. You don't have to take matters into your own hand. God will take care of that. Listen, thank God he's on our side. Now I want you to notice this in verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Aren't you glad that God made known his ways to you? I know that's written specifically to Moses, but aren't you glad God made his ways known to you? We ought to thank the Lord for that. Go down to verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Thank you, Lord. He hasn't done that. But nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But I'll tell you what he has done. He's extended mercy to us. We do not get what we deserve. Praise the Lord. Then look at verse 11. I think you know all these verses. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. How far is that? I don't know how far that is, to be honest. It's just infinity. It just goes on and on and on. Now look at verse 13. These are all just wonderful things to praise the Lord for. Thou shalt arise. I did it again. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Aren't you glad he has pity on us? And that he is actually, Psalm 40 talks about how he's pulled us out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, and established our goings. These are things that God has done for us. Pity is actually pulling somebody out of a ditch, brushing off the dust, and telling you to be careful the next time. And then it says in verse 14, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. God knows. He knoweth our frame. I'm glad he knows. God remembers something about us that probably we think we're a little bit better than, but God remembers we're nothing but dust. That's what we are. We are not divine. We are human. We have a human nature. We have a sinful nature, and God remembers all of that stuff. You know, the day our Savior will present us to the Father, you know, do you remember he presents us faultless in the presence of his glory? Now, can you imagine, because it's kind of a hard thing to imagine, I think, that God will present me, and when I stand there, I'm going to stand there faultless. Not a spot or wrinkle, anything sinfully wrong. Wow. When we are faultless now, are we? No, we're not faultless now. But we ought to be blameless now. Then it says in verse 17, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 20, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose though, I did it again. That's Psalm 102. You guys are getting a lot of that. Where the birds make their nest, that's Psalm 104, because I turned two pages. My goodness. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. Thank you, Father. Verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thursday is Thanksgiving. We ought to have a time. We do this. I assume we'll do it sometime this year. We ought to just go around and giving God thanks for certain things. Giving the Lord. You know what's not a bad idea? Is I don't know how many of you are getting together, where you're getting together. But if there's 8 or 10 of you around there, and, you know, the majority of you are believers. If not, you can do it yourself. But you can say, give the Lord thanks for something. Your turn. You can do that. That's a good thing to do. And it's a blessing. We've done that. And it's just a blessing to hear what great things that God has done for us. Don't forget them. Don't forgive the Lord thanks and praise. Father, we are grateful for all that you have done. Quite honestly, some of us, the life that we were saved out of, we have been saved from a life of destruction in more ways than one. And we are thankful. I don't even know that we can say thankful enough, and I don't know that we can express it as much as we feel it. But Lord, we are grateful for all you've done, especially in removing our sins as far as the east is from the west. We thank you for our salvation in Jesus. We thank you for your grace and goodness to us. Please, God, create within us. I know the psalmist said create within us a clean heart, but Lord, create within us a thankful heart, a heart that desires to praise and bless your holy name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, let me read a